The Association des Services de Réhabilitation Sociale du Québec is filing a class action suit. If you were strip searched between July 13, 2006 and July 1, 2011, if you were in one of the following facilities, Bordeaux, Rivière-des-Prairies, Roberval, Saint-Jérôme, or the male sector of Quebec City, you may be able to be part of this claim. For complete details, go to asrsq.ca/class action. That's asrsq.ca/class action. Claims must be filed before January 16th, 2022.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
Listening to CKUT 90.3 FM, I am Eve Degbe Gutierrez, and I will be your host for tonight's third installment of the Black Trans Woman Audio Project. It is a four-part fall podcast series bringing you the talents and perspective of trans women of color living in Montreal. Tonight's episode is titled, Girl, Are You Okay? And it will be focused on a conversation or lack thereof around mental health, as well as a special focus on navigating relationships while transitioning. Tonight, I will be joined by my two lovely guests, Nevada Barbara.
Hi.
And Chifanshi Barbara.
Hello.
So, I think we should do a little bit more of introductions before we jump right into the topic. My name is Eve. I'm a Black trans woman, pronounced she, her. I've been living in Montreal for 4 years now. I was born in France, but raised in West Africa, so I've kind of seen, you know, all around the places. I'm a multidisciplinary artist. I'm also a trans rights advocate. I do a lot of crowdfunding online, and I even recently started a mutual aid initiative alongside other trans women of color to fund other trans women's hormone therapy. And, yeah, what about you guys?
Hi, I'm Nevada Barbara. I'm currently part of the House of Barbara. I'm identified as a trans femme non-binary. My pronouns are she, they, and I'm really happy to be here.
We're happy to have you here. It's going to be a great conversation tonight. How about you, she?
Hi, my name is Chivanji. Call me Chi. My pronouns are they, she. I'm Haitian, born and raised in Montreal, and I'm a singer, songwriter, and sound designer, as well as a vocaler, and I, I'm in the House of Barbara as well, so it's Chifanji Barbara under the House of Barbara when it's the kiki scene. But yeah, no, I'm just an artist here in Montreal, and I'm non-binary trans women as well, which is why I'm here, and I'm excited to have this conversation.
Yes. Now, before we jump into it all, I think it's only fitting that we start with the most important question of the night, which is, girls, are you okay? Well, I guess you start, Nevada. How are you feeling?
Honestly, this whole pandemic, like, if we really want to get into it, it's hard to be okay, isn't it, nowadays?
No, it's very difficult to keep a stable level of positive mental health.
Yeah, but you know, we gotta get through.
Absolutely. Especially with all the ups and downs, it feels like things are just coming left and right, and it's very hard to plan for the future right now. It's very uncertain for everybody.
Hard to, you know, keep it together, have it under control.
Absolutely. Yes, control.
Control.
Yeah. One of the keywords. Very difficult.
Yeah, Chi, how are you feeling too?
Oh, but I'm good. Right, I'm like, wait, what happened? But no, I'm doing good. Same here. Like, it's been, like, much more complicated to, like, concretely plan ahead because I feel like we're just constantly in this, like, state of being updated on stuff. Just updated.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that it's been, like, very I feel less complicated now, but like more transformative, to say the least.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what COVID did for y'all's personal timelines, but it reappropriated a lot of them for myself.
Absolutely.
And yeah.
I feel like in a lot of ways, as soon as this pandemic hit, like Nevada mentioned earlier, we all lost control almost of the directions in which we were trying to take and stuff.
Yeah.
And so now just kind of navigating and hearing, like she just said, new news every other week. And it's like trying to plan for next year as well. But things are looking brighter. Things are looking slightly better for the future. Especially recently with the American election, it looks like it's going to be a positive outcome.
Let's hope and pray. Let's hope for that.
Well, yeah, we're sending our thoughts and our love with our trans sisters in America right now, whose future is looking very bleak. Your sisters in Canada are keeping you in mind, and we will keep praying for you guys. We will get through this. Now, before we get into this episode, tonight's episode was made possible by the help of Aztec, Cooper Concordia, as well as Transistor Radio. All right, so let's get into this mental health, you guys.
Girl.
So, first and foremost, before we even get truly into it, I think it's very important that we talk about why we chose this topic and why is it important to discuss mental health. Personally, I feel like there's a lack of conversation about mental health in general.
Definitely.
Just in general, not even looking at the Black aspect of it or trans aspect of it, just if you're a person anywhere in this earth currently, chances are mental health is a taboo subject wherever you're from.
I feel like it's not spoke about often as it should be.
Absolutely. Especially,
it's still kind of taboo or like sensitive because people don't know how to maybe come on aborder la conversation or like how to like bring it up.
Yeah, we don't know how to approach
the language, like the correct language.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because a lot of times these conversations can be uncomfortable to be had.
Uncomfortable, so another keyword.
Exactly. So people tend to avoid having these hard discussions, but I think they're very vital and very important. And a lot of people lose quality of life when these things are not discussed and brought forward. And now also due to us sitting at the intersectionality of being Black and trans and femmes, we're even less likely to have had access to spaces in which we could discuss this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you feel personally?
Personally, even me growing up in a very conservative household, those conversations would never being put on the table. Never. Like, if you were in some ways depressed or feeling, you know, like something wasn't neurotypical or right, like people were just calling you, you know, whether you were hot-headed, you were being rude, you were being ta-ta-ti, ta-ta-ta, like they would never, you know, see under the sea level, go deeper and see how you were feeling inside. What were the reason that made you act this way?
Absolutely.
But literally that, like, it was just a bunch of gaslighting growing up.
Literally,
it was like you just grew up in isolation before it was, like, said by the government. So then you're like, okay.
That is true. A lot of us have been quarantining before quarantine was even
exactly.
a thing.
Exactly! Right? Oh my god, that energy.
But no, very bad. But I think that it's definitely hard to materialize even something as simple as a conversation because people don't want to hear it, don't think that conversation should be had, or like don't even want you to think about that because you don't even know if you maybe growing up in a household where the gaslighting that's taking place is one that's like spiritual bypassing and like virtue signaling, like hardcore, like just some like you're going to hell at 8 years old type B, which is not cute to know when you haven't even hit puberty yet, by the way. But
absolutely not. And actually now hearing you guys mentioning these things, that why do you think that is important that we discuss it? It's because look around you, everybody's in search of healing.
Everybody,
wherever you are, whoever you are most likely in search of healing, whether you realize it or not. Jeez. In a lot of ways,
it's just being at peace with your hurt or your suffering, because you know it'll never end, but that it'll just change.
And just hear like the three of us talking about that, like there's so many bad ways you can heal and so many constructive way you can finally, you know, with your sisters have those kind of conversation, letting it out and being able to, you know, share all this common trauma that we all had, because absolutely, honestly, to a certain degree, we've all been through it.
Absolutely. To a certain degree. Every single one of us. Yeah. And I think it's important that we come together, like you mentioned, mm-hmm, in order to keep fostering those spaces in which we can discuss this and openly share without shame, without having to, you know, overly put our trauma out there and mm-hmm stuff. Exactly. It's for us to really work through.
Definitely, very much that.
I love that. So in order to cover as much as we can, we will all be sharing personal anecdotes as mm-hmm well as going down our transition timelines, kind of, and looking at both the ups and downs of being a Black trans feminine individual.
Yeah.
And how that relates all to mental health and relationships. Now, I think it's important that we kind of look at timelines in terms of transitioning. So before your transition, mm-hmm, I personally felt like I wasn't even aware of the true meaning of mental health, mm-hmm, and consequently my own. You know, I always thought that if you had mental health issues, then it had to be something that was visible, almost physically. You had to see it in your physicality. Mm-hmm. And this mindset, I feel like, mostly came from where I lived, which was around, you know, my parents and around my community, which was mostly Black African people. And unfortunately, there, that conversation is just not had. Mental illness in such an environment means that you must physically be unable to care for yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way that they're actually going to look at you and say, yes, you have an illness and you need some type of help. Anything that's, you know, somewhat under there, then you're just considered to be weak. Exactly. And so it ends up being
weak,
your fault.
Or even crazy. The word that they would often use, you are crazy. How can you not control yourself? What is, like, literally, what is there to make you not being able to be fully aware of yourself?
Well, that's very funny, because it's like, yeah, I literally am crazy. Like, I cannot control this, you know? It is illness. Illness is illness.
Illness is illness. Like, there's some stuff you cannot control.
Absolutely not. And I think it's also important that we kind of look at the intersectionality of things while discussing all of these things, mm-hmm, and you know, kind of talk about what it means to be a Black trans femme person navigating mental health and stuff. So I want to ask you guys personally, how would you describe the state of your mental health prior to transitioning?
Oof.
Let me start.
Yeah, I feel that I was I want to say less in control of my anger, as into that I would reside in a state of anger or just angst, or like I would be angry because it wasn't outlets or anything to pour into. So then it's like that bottle that like just fills up. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just the same, isolating. But I think that what aided to that, like, kind of just like accepting that, okay, this is where I'm gonna reside, like, this is where mm-hmm I reside right now, because this is where I actually live. I had to understand, okay, I had to identify very early on, okay, what is like fucking me up, I guess, and then like being clear about these things so that I can like have some solid like projects in mind to heal. Like, okay, I need to fucking move, then okay, I need to speak up about this, I need to be vocal about this, I know I need these types of friends. Like, and it was kind of like, in my case, it was like when I started going online to like aid in that like lack of queer Black like presence, or mm-hmm even just conversations around me where people would agree with me or mm-hmm not like be like, what are you talking about?
Literally, as if it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, like that is not a real issue. Like, it doesn't
absolutely
come to spa, yeah. Like,
so for actually, what I wanted to talk about a little bit is in terms like in a Black community, often when we bring up these problems, and we're actually they notice it off of us, because I think a lot of us, our problems kind of started when we showed some sort of femininity, you know, whether it was in our clothing or in our walk,
yes,
exactly,
just
or just our manners.
Have, like higher voices, then I was like, just
Just anything that wasn't regarded as, like, you know, masculine. Mm-hmm. If you had that into you, it was instantly demonized.
Oh, yes.
Another key word. And it's like, it's a hard thing, because it's like, when we look for help, then we're blamed for our own problems. And
Then we don't look for help because we don't want to end up like,
absolutely so exactly, because then what happens is when you refuse to help somebody that comes to you and asks for help, we tend to lock ourselves into these unhealthy habits and patterns, and these things just carry on with us further in life, and in some ways it can like actually end up ruining one's life.
It ruins us, and also it shapes us in a way. Definitely, like,
I feel like it's almost very traumatic to have to, you know, be born a certain way and, like, just move through life and have everybody around you telling you that you're doing wrong when you don't even know what's going on in yourself. You don't even know. You don't have the chance to sit down and actually say, this is what I want. This is what I like. This is where I want to go. And before you even have the chance to come to terms with that, everybody's already interjecting with what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing and all of this stuff and all of that.
Questions already. And you're like, give me a second.
Absolutely.
It's the way.
I know that you're not going to know if I try to explain it to you now. Type beat. Like, I'm going to protect.
It's really the way they were, like, as an, from a young age, they were really first force feeding us this A and B, A and B. It's whether you're A or B. You cannot go in between. There's no in between. It's white and black. But when you finally find your crowd, as you said earlier, Chi, it's like you know that there's a spectrum that finally exists where you can place yourself and be yourself. Like, it's not just what, how do I say that? It's not just what you personally thought that you were, because everyone was telling you how to be, but more of a how you can become, if it makes sense.
It absolutely does, actually. And bouncing off of that, when they kind of are telling you and shoving you in a direction where you don't want to be and stuff, and you end up kind of locking yourself into these habits and stuff, would you say that that situation and also the lack of addressing mental health just in general caused yourself to suffer even more from these unhealthy patterns and even develop further unhealthy patterns later in life?
Because a lot of us, literally, we can fall into different kind of bad habits. Some of us it's drugs, some of us it's, you know, isolation when we are in need of people around us to support us. There's different ways in which we can fall into those bad patterns.
Absolutely. Even seeking help, actually, because once, you know, it's refused to us, we tend to not look for it later on in life, because our entire childhood, our entire while growing up, we were told that it was just not, we weren't worthy of receiving such help or even asking such for such help, because everything is our fault and we just have to clear these out by ourselves, whether it be using the power of God or prayer or just, you know.
Like, even me, if I can add my touch into that, I remember crying myself to sleep, praying myself to sleep, it's gonna go away, it's gonna go away. But, you know, sometimes you don't even know that you're sick, you need this help, that you're not even seeking for it, and somehow you need it.
So, it almost, in a way, I felt like, so when I was growing up and stuff, and suffering from heavy dysphoria without even knowing it, does it not almost feel like you're in a dreamlike state, like you're dreaming? It's like you don't know you're in a dream, almost. And then when something, you see something and it clicks and you're like, so all of this shit has been going on, but it's not fucking real. And you're like,
hold on, pause this.
Exactly. And then you really had to just like pause.
Pause, cut the cameras, and let's go back. Literally.
Cut the cameras. Cut right now. it's very true, because these feelings, like she was mentioning earlier, that bottle, you know, that was filling and stuff. If you don't have anywhere to actually put these, if you don't know where that has to be put, in which categories you want to, you know, put that essence of yourself in, it usually will end up just going everywhere. If it's going to burst eventually at some point or not, you really have to stop and sit down and say, okay, something is wrong, something is not going right right now. What is it? And it's around, it's when you start having that conversation with yourself that you really realize, okay, I have dysphoria, or, you know, in some certain, in a lot of ways, we don't use, actually, we didn't use those terms. I know I didn't even know what dysphoria was around
the
you know, back then. I just, in my head, I was like, okay, so I'm a girl, but everybody else thinks I'm a boy.
Exactly.
So how do I navigate that now? And in a lot of ways, I think right after I started having these conversations with myself, I started getting down these heavy, heavy feelings of guilt and shame just for making the decision to start my transition. And it came to, it was so poisonous to my daily life that just sometimes just walking down the street, just like an overwhelming feeling of shame right now. It feels like you just did the worst thing in the world, just being yourself, because all your life you've been told that what you're doing now and what you're living, you know, comfortably as is wrong. And you don't realize just how much your brain internalizes hearing these things every day, and sometimes leading you to believe these things about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So did you guys experience any guilt coming from your gender variance?
It's as you said earlier, like, doing the simplest things as getting ready to get out of the house, it feels like I'm getting ready to a walk of shame.
Yeah.
Literally being looked upon, being judged, being ostracized by the society in general, like,
back then, in a way, it caused me to have immense distrust for the world around me, and as well for myself. Now, would you say, Chi, that this also comes from, partake from Black people having to carry everything down their back almost, and everything into them and internalize everything, particularly Black women as well? We're never, you know, almost given the chance to give to someone else in a way and say, just help me. It's, you always have to keep it with yourself on your back and carry your cross until the
but
last
I
day.
I feel like also this aspect is kind of a AMAP thing, like being born as a male, assigned male at birth. Like, because you are a quote-unquote male, you have to always internalize your emotion, always keep it under the rug.
Absolutely.
Because there's no, like, No one is asking you how you are, even. You're saying,
are you
have
okay?
A girlfriend, or do you play football?
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
You know, it's like the questions aren't the same, or like, you're not really raised the same way in, like, in the gender roles that, like, AMAB aside, it's like when you got back home and, like, putting your crib back, your parents, what color were those sheets? Like, they didn't say anything. What color was what crib did your mom put you in, you know? But, like, yeah, no, I kind of lost my train of thought, but can I ask you a question again?
Of course. The question was, do you think that,
like, the Black community...
Exactly, it often pushes every problem that you have on yourself, so there's
silent.
No asking for help.
I think that we definitely have to almost, in a way, erase
Absolutely.
Our own trauma.
Yes.
Because either we don't know who to speak about it with, or we don't want to burden people, or we feel like... It's like all these inner voices that it gets down, dwindles down to, but I think that... When it's like trying to share what it is that you're going through in your, like, Black trans experience, then it's, I feel like it's even more, like, isolating or desolating when you do build up enough confidence or, like, the courage to, like, say, I need help because I am Black and trans. Like, being able to even say that sentence, like,
yes.
And not, like, feel like you'll look stupid because you have this shame or, like, you know, like, that's what it is. That's the buffering, like, that's going on for myself, I guess. Like, it would be like that guilt and that shame is that inner voice being like, you're stupid for being yourself.
Yes.
Or like, for saying it, like, you don't have to say it to be it, but then it's like, I'm not saying it, I'm just speaking.
Really?
Like, I'm speaking. So I don't try to say too much anymore, because when it's a thing about speaking about what you're going through as a Black trans person, you have to tell them about transphobia first, and they're just like, that exists by yet. They're like, transphobe? Je suis pas transphobe? Non, je suis pas transphobe? Non, non. Come. Like, sis, like, you know? It's like, let's talk about your transphobia, because we all carry this internalized sense, so where that not everyone unpacks. And if we're trans, of course, you have some sort of unpacking that we've done for ourselves, but we don't always know where people are at in their unpacking of their internalized transphobia.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So much entitlement comes from that.
So much entitlement comes from that. And if you're, like, visible in that, or if you're, like, desirable, attractive, popular, or want to put yourself out there or be visible, then, of course, you have to get into some boundaries, and that might be not having to theorize your existence for some people.
Absolutely. So that's actually kind of jumping off of that. So you would agree that other people's perceptions of us actually heavily shape what we're trying to do and which direction
they
we have to go to.
Yeah.
They inform, like, why some people might misgender you. Like, that's what it does to me.
Absolutely. I feel like, in a way, I sometimes stopped respecting my transition and myself for other people, because I somehow felt that these people weren't so familiar with what it meant to be trans, or what is it to have a trans person in their lives. And so I almost felt like it was asking too much of them to respect me and the difference that comes from being a person like me. And so it was always, I had to swallow that pill for them almost, and just kind of take on all the negative feelings that they had about me and take those on for myself and carry that cross for a long time, for a long period of time. And I feel like, in a sense, that caused us later in life to not be able to actually properly navigate these feelings and actually sit down and say, okay, no, this is not me asking too much of people. This is literally me asking the bare minimum of someone.
Bare minimum.
You know, we start accepting under the bare minimum. And so when we have to do the bare minimum, when we get the bare minimum, it seems like a world, it seems like a mountain,
yeah.
It seems like more than you should
it's
receive.
Like it's very much, I only ask you to get your feet out of the water. Like, I'm not asking you to mount the mountain with me. Like, I'm not asking you to go hike. Please give me the bare minimum. No, come on now.
Like a name change or a pronoun change, these things, you know. I understand that these things can sometimes take time to, you know, adjust if you've known somebody a certain way their entire lives, and now changing that person's perception, you know, that perception of that person in your mind and adjusting to these things, it is understandable that it would take a little bit to adjust. It's understandable. But when it's purposely that you don't even take the time to sit down and say, hey, this person that I cling to love and that is in my life, they are telling me that, you know, a name change or a pronoun change is something that is important, vital to them. The bare minimum that I can do is respect that and try to continue respecting that. But I feel like some people just hear it, they'll try it out for a week, and then it seems like that's it. They never heard of it before. They don't know what transitioning is. They don't know what a trans person is.
Oh,
we're not taken seriously.
You were not joking earlier? Oh my God, I thought that was a joke. Oh my God, it's real. It's a real issue. It's very just what you said. Even me today, I have an acquaintance that I'm here. I'm telling them my story. I'm telling them how I feel, how it makes me feel better to finally be in term of who I am, be in term of what I'm heading to in life, and they'll listen to me, they'll get what I mean, but then they'll forget about it. And I see that they're not even making any efforts to keep up with the schedule. It's like,
absolutely, the word is effort right there, because it's we put so much time and effort into ourselves, into trying to be happy and trying to form happiness for our futures, and it's like one simple thing such as respecting our proper names, or, you know, our pronouns or something like that, and they can't even do that.
Or just check in with what those are or might be, or how they've changed with yourself.
Absolutely.
It's,
you know, like,
as if, like, at the same time, it's as if when we're asking them to finally respect us, not even tolerate us, respect us for who we are, when if they do it, it's like their spokesperson now. If finally they respect us, it's as if they were entitled to speak for us in situations, as if they've lived through what we had, because we told them a little bit of what is going on inside of our head.
Yeah, people tend to assume a whole world of things,
yeah,
like when we tell them you're transitioning. And so I feel like that also causes us to internalize a lot of transphobic ideals and ideas in our heads and stuff. When I first started transitioning and when I first, you know, kind of came out to, like, my family and I was telling them, you know, I didn't even come out as a trans woman. I was like, I am non-binary. And that's, I feel like that's where we all started, kind of. They all started believing all these crazy ideas even before I even came out as trans and I was just kind of, you know, a gay man in makeup, you know, doing these things. They immediately assumed that I wanted to transition by just putting makeup on my face.
Oh my God.
When I didn't even come to that conclusion myself yet.
Like, you want to be a girl? You want to be a girl?
This? Yeah, oh, this right there.
The like, you think, why are you wearing that? You think you're, like...
It's... You want to see, you want to hear what's funny? Like, you said that you came out. They didn't even let me came out. Me, the only thing I said was, I don't like girls. I just said, I don't like girls. And she was already rolling on the floor, yelling, oh my God, you're a girl? You're a woman? And I didn't even have the time to say, oh, mom, I'm gay. No. Like, I just said, but... By the way, I don't like girls. And she was already making all those assumptions about me. That I'm going to hell. It's hell. Jail time for you. Jail time for you monstrosity, you abomination, this word. Haven't we all hear it? Abomination?
I feel like they almost kind of, you know, it's we, our girls, our entire, you know, all. I think like a lot of us were identifying as girls for a long time while growing up and stuff without even realizing it. And it's like,
we don't even realize
they call us girls our entire childhood while growing up. And the day that we actually get up and we're like, yes, I am a girl. They're going to be like, no, you ain't.
No, with that thing hanging out of your pants. No, you ain't.
Like, I thought I was a woman up until yesterday. Now that I agree that I'm a woman, I'm not a woman. So what is that? Which one is it? Like, which one is it?
That's true. That's the projection.
Like, from the way we talk, from the way we walk, from the way we do normal things, they're like, oh my God, why are you being... such a girl. You're a girl. You're a girl. You want to be a woman. Then I said, yes. Like you just said, I am one.
Exactly.
And you're like, no.
No.
You monster. No, you're not a girl. You're not, like, not under my roof.
It touches on like those whole ass like insecurities that parents have when raising a child.
Yes.
And this like thing that's shunned upon if your child looks fruity a bit growing up. Mm-hmm. Why your little boy look a little bit like, is that a little boy? Like, you know, those little questions that the parents get asked to the children that makes them feel insecure. And then they're like, oh my God, my child cannot be that. Like, literally too sad.
So they're literally, as you said, like, they're putting us in a mold. Like, they're trying to shape us. They're not even trying to raise us into being our own self. They're just trying to shape us. We need to have those body parts. We need to have this way of acting. We need to be this and this and that, but not we need to become us.
And it's, I feel like in a lot of
be healthy, you know, thriving. What happened to that word? What happened to being happy?
Thriving.
It's funny how they think that trying to tell us what to do is going to bring about our happiness. I mean, let's turn the cameras around and ask them, are y'all happy?
Yeah, I'm happy.
It doesn't seem like it.
What are you doing?
What are you not doing?
Let's ask a member of the audience. We have to turn the mic around because why? No one else has to explain their livelihood. Why do we have to tell y'all when
everything
we first, like, had trauma or whatever, like, no, let's talk about something else, you know?
No,
and it's unfair that, like, black trans women always have to do that.
Absolutely.
Or that,
So I want to ask you guys, in terms of, now, we were just talking about how to feel before our transitions.
Yeah.
Now, during our transition / after, would you guys agree that it gets worse before it gets better?
Yes, it's those dark ages, mommy, mama.
Uh-huh.
I feel like almost, you know, because we're saying during transitioning, is there even an after transitioning? Does it ever come to a point where you're like, okay, I feel like I have gone far enough in my journey and I feel like I've reached where I want to be in my journey, and then there's almost this, you know, kind of new step that you have to move forward in. I feel like most trans people that I've talked to have yet to reach that point. Because yes. I feel like in order to reach such a point, the world around you has to loosen itself up
mm-hmm.
in order to allow you to
mm-hmm.
fully grow into yourself and fully do what you want to do. It's possible for some people, you know, for some people who have, like, passing privileges or some people who have been living stealth their whole lives,
yeah.
they're able to reach, you know, an amount of comfort in their lives that allows them to fully grow and become productive human beings. But unfortunately, some of us are stuck working out our feelings that we've had since childhood
mm-hmm.
up until late adulthood.
It's as if in this
yeah.
one transition, it's not like, it's not gradual, but it's separated into, you know, having to transition, you know, finally one, being able to accept yourself, and two, being able to go towards that thriving feeling,
mm-hmm.
being able to, you know, grow as a person and, you know, emulate what you feel inside.
Absolutely. And I feel like, in a sense, not being able to, you know, go through that process,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of negative impacts that come as a result of such, you know, behaviors and such ways of living and stuff.
Yes.
And I feel like due to a lack of stability, both inside and outside, you know, stability inside of our own minds and bodies, how we feel comfortable with
mm-hmm.
ourselves, but also stability with our external lives. Where are we living? Who are we living with? Who are the people around us? Who do you consider your friends? And all these different things. And as a result of all these, you know, instability issues, a lot of us end up developing a flurry of issues. And like we mentioned earlier, drug usage,
yes.
dependencies, gambling even,
gambling.
You know?
Even living as doing the bare minimum to support us becomes such a huge task. Like doing stuff like personal hygiene,
mm-hmm.
being able to maintain it, being able to feed ourselves, being
mm-hmm.
able to, you know, take care of ourselves. Like it becomes this kind of mountain that we have to go climb on.
Because we were never taught to properly care for ourselves.
No,
the way that we were taught to care for ourselves, we were, you know, It was meant for another person, for whoever they thought that we were.
Exactly.
But for us, the actual persons, the human beings behind, you know, the whole persona, we have different requirements. We have different needs. And so looking at us and thinking you have us all figured out and
mm-hmm.
given us, you know, and trying to raise a human being like that and telling them, no, in order to make yourself feel better, you know, you must go to church or you must not
mm-hmm.
wear that or you must behave this certain way and then you will feel better. And a lot of us try that for years and years and years and years and just end up completely
shattered.
Yes, it's no sense of, you know, proper human soul behind under the body anymore. It's like
yeah.
there's no life inside anymore.
No, it becomes like an empty space. It's just
mm-hmm.
some kind of robotic being acting period.
Absolutely. Assimilation is what I feel like. That's a huge thing that happens
yes,
as a result of that.
Assimilation, that word.
I remember, you know, like one thing I'm going to talk about real quick is trying to navigate dysphoria when it's coming in at full strength.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you guys, because personally, when my dysphoria only came at full strength when I made the decision to start transitioning, because then I had a clear idea of who I was and who I wanted to be and what I wanted to look like. And so once I became aware of that, immediately all those negative feelings that I had about myself and my body like intensified immediately.
Yeah.
Did you guys experience something similar?
Yes.
As well?
Same.
I feel that, and I feel that what it was for, even for me, it was just like, for a sec, it would be this, like, out-of-body feeling. Just this, like, I'm...
This dissociation.
This is so, exactly, like, it's just...
Absolutely.
Here, but I'm not here because I'm just in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've been saying, like, all body, no mind. Just to kind of, like, just make myself be like, okay, you have to, like, walk your walk.
Mm-hmm.
You've been, like, setting this path for too long, and you are... It's, like, just about building enough confidence, but, like, it's... Yeah, it's
as you said earlier, it's this dream state like feeling of being here but not being here, owning this body but at the same time not being the owner.
Mm-hmm.
It's like living in a rented place.
Yeah.
Rented place that was supposed to be yours. It was my name on the wheel. Like I am the owner of this house. But yeah,
no.
It's very much
yeah. It does feel like you're renting a building and the landlord is just like a piece of shit that's not letting you do anything.
Exactly that.
Everything is struggling. So I feel like in order to navigate such a difficult aspect of things, it's very important that we talk about the importance of having a stable environment and having stability mm-hmm. in our lives. You know, in order to properly heal, you need an environment in which that is possible. And a lot of people take, you know, these little things as granted, such as having a home. A safe place where you can go.
Safe housing.
Yes, safe house. The bare minimum in order to begin healing is you need a proper space in order to do that. A lot of us Black trans people lack safe housing, a
mm-hmm.
space in which we can
so
go to sleep.
So many GoFundMe, so many of us that needs to reach out to acquire this bare minimum, as
exactly.
you said.
I think that it's really after finding a secure housing that a lot of trans people can take on like concrete steps towards their transition and feel at peace with it.
Absolutely.
Because it's like where you lay your head sleep and where you wake up every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order for us to move forward with something like this, I feel like a lot of people definitely need to understand that we need access to safe homes, access to proper healthcare, and access to jobs in order to self-stabilize. We're not given chances, and everything that we get, we have to work 100 times as hard for. Now, we're going to get right back to this, and before we do, when we come back, we're going to be discussing a little bit about relationships, and you are listening to the Black Trans Women Audio Project on CKUT 90.3 FM.
I can't reach. I can't find it.
You're listening on CKUT 90.3 FM, and we're back for the second half of the third episode of the Black Trans Woman Audio Project. And for this second half, we are going to be talking about relationships and how that all relates to mental health. It's going to be an exciting topic.
Tell me about it, girl.
So, just on the last part, when we were just chatting about how our mental health was evolving
mm-hmm.
throughout our transition and stuff like that, what I want to ask you, let's talk about the positive sides almost. On the plus side, once I personally started seeing the end of the tunnel, you know, as far away as it is, you know, by seeing the end of the tunnel, I don't necessarily mean it's right in front of me, but I know at least the exit is in a certain direction, and I know where to head. I felt like I got hope in that moment
mm-hmm.
and started, as a result, treating myself differently and the world around me differently as well. And so by myself differently, I mean I started almost gathering more respect, more self-respect for myself. All of a sudden, the little things that I wanted to do for myself mattered, you know, even the big things such as, you know, actually pursuing a full-on transition and, you know, HRT surgeries, all these different things and stuff. Once I started making the decision to pursue these things,
yes.
it's like I started, everything about me and the way that I looked at myself started changing. So little things such as, you know, you haven't eaten today at all. You have to eat at least one meal and stuff like that. It's like distracting to have
yeah.
a meal and stuff. But, you know, just little things like that. I started to, you know, care for myself more and more. Did you guys notice that as well?
Yeah. Like you get to finally be able to think about stuff like, oh my god, did I drink enough water today? Did I flush the toilet? Did I shower? Did I took the time to fully realize who I am? Did I really took my time and sat and been like, so I'm here, I'm this person, I'm transitioning, I'm accepting myself now. Let's go. Let's roll.
Yes.
Let's do something.
Exactly.
Let's not just be, you know, those slug type of creature. Let's finally materialize ourselves. Let's finally be here in this moment.
And I feel like, but a lot of ways, it's really difficult to get to that point
it's
and really
difficult.
To give yourself that
it's
push
really...
and say, hey, it's time to bring about everything that I want and I can manifest those things myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because in a lot of ways, we're so exhausted from having to fight all these different fights with all the people around us and with ourselves as well.
With ourselves.
Honestly.
I feel like
in
the biggest
state
part.
Of defensiveness
yeah.
all the time.
Like, yes. It's
you never be relaxed or even know how to properly relax for yourself
mm-hmm.
because you're always agitated or,
mm-hmm.
you know,
You're always on the lookout.
Constantly dodging stuff.
Yeah.
Dodging society, dodging your family, dodging your friends, dodging yourself.
Like fight or flight.
So
yeah,
there you
fight
go.
Fight or flight response activated.
Okay. So in order...
exactly.
Yes. But so in order to...
In order to discuss more about the connection between mental health and relationships,
yes.
I feel like it's very important that we look at two sorts of relationships. So first and foremost,
mm-hmm.
the relationship that you have with the world around you and the people that are in it. So that can mean, you know, your family or your friends or even just someone like a stranger walking down the street that you're walking by.
Yeah.
And also a relationship that is often overlooked, but that is the most important relationship we each have in our lives, and that is a relationship that we have with ourselves.
Basically,
you know, it's important that we discuss it, because a lot of times we, you know, we earlier talked about these unhealthy habits
mm-hmm.
and unhealthy patterns that we tend to be locked into, but a lot of times also we tend to upkeep unnecessarily, you know, damaging relationships in our
yes.
lives, and we tend to hold on to the bare minimum that we have
yeah.
to the bare, because it's so scary being lonely.
It's scary. And also we've been fed constantly the bare minimum.
Absolutely. It's, you don't know. And actually that's what I was going to get to them. Unhealthy relationship. What causes them? Number one, the fact that you don't have healthy relationships around
exactly.
you. How do you know that you're in a bad abusive relationship if you've never been in a proper one when somebody shows you the way you're supposed to be treated? If you're used to being, you know, beaten down, whether it be emotionally, and for some of us, it ended up being physically as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, physically, love.
And if that's what you're forced to accept, and you're told that that's the best course of treatment for you and for somebody like you, you don't know later on in life that, or sometimes you don't realize.
You don't realize and you don't know better.
Absolutely not. And, you know... I want to ask you guys, how did your blood relatives react to your transitions when you came out to them?
Recently? I've done that recently. Like, and that's... Thank you. Like, that's what I've just been doing. Like, I'm like, moving through the world means moving out and then having the conversation I need to have. But I, like, came out to my sisters, and at first I came out to them as gay. I was, like, in high school, and then I came out to them as non-binary trans, I think maybe last year.
Last year?
Or two
oh,
years
wow.
ago. But I was out for maybe like 8 years, 10 years.
That's good.
But then talk about like creating a path for yourself but never really walking it yet. So I could talk about that forever. But now that I'm able to have the same conversations with my sisters and with my friends,
mm-hmm.
it's a key. Mm-hmm. It's really cute.
So you would say that they reacted with you with kind of giving you a space where you could finally come in and chat about these things.
Or I could just be and not have questions be asked.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
No.
Mm-hmm. That's also very important.
Because
let me be.
What would happen is like, are you sure that this is what you want to do? Es que se llama?
Yeah.
None of that happened. It was just like, okay. Like, I would not have da-da-da. And then I was like, wow, so... All this time, this is really just in your head that you are putting
yes.
these barriers to yourself
mm-hmm.
and you're staying stagnant by yourself because you have these internalized voices and you know where you'd be more comfortable to do that, but it's the same. Just do
it's
it.
It's the same.
Right.
It comes down to
things
cannot
things have changed today because we have those support systems
mm-hmm.
that we can like call to or rely on or just acknowledge. Like, you're not alone, literally.
Yeah, but what... could you say an example of support system for our...
Like, friends. If you
yeah.
have friends that you can talk about black and trans
very
stuff
important.
With, then that's already a key. Because some people are going to be like, you're black and you're trans? Wow. I did not know.
Yeah.
So, actually, coming back to what you just said, Chi, I think it's very important that we also kind of realize, because it's true that we need these spaces to where we can talk about our transness and talk about all these different things that affect us in our life, but it's also very important that we have spaces where we can just be, where we don't have to discuss all these different crazy things that are in our heads 24/7
exactly,
anyways, you know? Sometimes we just want a space where we can just talk about the weather if you want to, or about...
Yeah, talk about the weather, the latest...
Talk about your crush, talk about regular shit. What did you eat? Do you know what, like, what do you like to cook? I don't know, like, some stuff... that's what I need to do now. Like, I'm really trying to see, like, Because in the relationships, for example, it was like, okay, I want to be in a relationship, but how is my relationship with myself? And how is my, what does my self-love journey look like right now? Like, why am I even speaking to someone? Why am I texting this person? I didn't brush my teeth. Type beat, like just this thing, like
I hate
what
this.
Is your relationship with yourself? Like it's good to compete with you on time to like y'all this up, get up, like, or you can stay in bed. Today is your bed day, like bed day. Okay, cute. Like have that relationship with yourself and be honest. Like don't be like
be honest.
Share when you're imperfect, share when you're perfect. But when people share when they're perfect only, don't think that it's not for nothing. Like literally, it's not for nothing.
And also, like, I want to touch upon what you just said about being able to have this conversation with other people that are sometimes useless or sometimes just, you know, upbeat and funny. Like, being trans is our identity, but does it have to be our personality?
Yes.
Like, the fact that I'm trans is always a conversation that needs to be done?
Centered.
No, sometimes, you know, we are being, we're not just trans, it's our identity, yes, and nobody's gonna take that away from us. But can we be us?
I think that we cannot be us as much because what we're faced to in those relationships is people trying to take that power away from us to be us. So then it's like I can't even love myself right now because I have to defend myself to this person that I'm calling my friend, but that's being like sly transphobic to me or like low-key,
it's an acquaintance,
like,
it's not a friend.
So,
and I
know,
feel
it's
like
about knowing those boundaries and being like, okay, what's my relationship with myself and why did I even see the person as a friend first? Like, what did they check on my, like, non-negotiable list for me to even be like, okay, you're a friend.
Yeah.
For you to turn around and be like, this or that and third. Or, like,
it not gets tiring.
Not defend me if, like, someone is gendered.
Yeah.
Or, like, it gets tiring, but then it's, like, it's tiring if you, unless you pay it no mind, I guess. But you can't, that's a privilege to pay it no mind.
Yeah.
Exactly. And before you even get to the state where you can even, like you said, have the privilege to just pay it no mind or to just move forward with it, a lot of us just take to accept that and just, you know, take what is our, what is given to us as little as it is. And it's, it, I feel like it comes also from a lack of self-respect a lot of times, you know.
And it's, as
we
I
don't
said, we're force-fed the bare minimum.
Absolutely.
So that lack of self-interest
is, and at, as a result, what happens is we tend to be these overly kind people that tend
yes,
to say,
yes, this,
yes,
oh,
to
I'm
everyone.
Gonna,
yes,
I'm gonna
yes,
be
yes,
your
yes,
mom.
Yes,
I'm gonna,
yes,
I'm gonna,
like my mom,
like we get to being this motherly figure for other people. Like even me, like I put myself so many times in jeopardy for other people. I wanted to be kind. I wanted to be this mother figure, even though I didn't have that figure here for me, being there to you, you know, really provide for me. But me, even though, for example, like I didn't have enough money in my bank account, I would still go out of my way to, you know, make my make sure that my friends are eating, make sure that they're happy, make sure that, you know, you're not failing school. Do you need me to help you understand something? I can find resources for you.
Just little things like this that we go out of our way to do for everybody.
We people please, and then that makes up for the other party's lack of, like, knowing how to be respectful.
Yeah.
Like, we don't always have to, like, I don't know, compensate for that. Like,
yeah, compensate is the word.
Like, I don't know, because it can also become very transactional because it's as if people always want to, like, extract information from us. Weirdly, but then it's like, wait, who am I when I'm just being? Like, how, you know, but that's like so
when you take away the trans factor, what is left behind? What person is left behind? And who is that individual? What do they like? What do they want? And that's the conversation that really each of us need to finally get to at the end of the day. If you're trying to navigate mental health, you're going to have to first and foremost navigate the relationship that you have with yourself, and in turn look at the relationships that you have around you and then the relationships that you keep and stuff like that. Now, I think it's important that we also mention to our listeners tonight that there are a lot of things other than what we discussed that can be taken away from this conversation. And first and foremost is people need to understand and acknowledge that trans people, you know, asking now for help and finally coming to the surface and to the light and saying, hey, we're here and we need this. People tend to just shove us to the side and think that it's not important, because people don't understand that we are quite literally dealing with a situation that we have not caused.
No.
None of the, you know, the environments that we live in, even dysphoria, all these mm-hmm. things that make us who we are, we did not cause these things.
Never caused it, never asked for it. No. No, literally.
We literally cannot get ourselves out of it, nor should we have to. It's very important that people understand that Black trans people need extreme amounts of support. Yeah. Not just in the form of, you know, because a lot of people think that support is getting into your business and coming
exactly.
and asking you all sorts of questions about
yeah.
what you did and what
support
you do.
Support is not you trying to figure out what I have inside of my pants. Support
yeah.
is not you trying to figure out every little details about me. Mm-hmm. Because those kind of things, I don't have to give it to you.
Yeah.
You're not entitled to that kind of information.
You don't have to disclose
no.
that information to a stranger at that. And that's the questions that strangers ask you first and foremost, invasive
exactly.
like that. And
so
like,
you want to know what's inside my pants, but you don't want to know if I'm going to eat tonight?
You
you
know.
Don't want to know if I have enough food to provide for myself and I'm going to sleep on a bed tonight? But no, what's important to you is how am I going to have sexual encounter intercourse with other people.
Asking about food and meals and stuff like that, they even forget to ask us for our names. Our name.
Ahuga Booga. Oh my god, what's in your pants?
So, yes, just aside from that kind of support, it's very important that people need to understand that Black trans people need financial support, emotional support, housing, access to healthcare, you know,
yes.
whether it just be through the forms of donations,
yes.
of monetary donations, because we don't need to chat and we don't need y'all to ask what we planning to do with all these things. We really just need y'all to give and be quiet at this point. Now, I want to thank you guys so much for listening, and I want to thank my guests for coming tonight and for being here.
Oh, I was so pleased
was
being here.
An amazing time.
Amazing.
We had a great fun. I think we got to a really productive conversation,
yes.
and we touched on very important points and
yeah.
stuff. Now, if any of you listeners at home have some more questions about what we discussed tonight, or you would like to reach to any of us hosts, you can find us on social media. You can find me, your host, at Eve of Virgo everywhere. How about you, Nevada?
You can find me on Instagram as at Nevada Nevada Black, yeah, _ Black, or my art account, which is Nev Zachi with a Z in the middle.
Perfect. How about you, Chi?
And all handles Chivenji for me, and that includes PayPal. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I want to thank again Aztec, Cooper, Concordia, and Transistor Radio for making this episode possible. And thank you so much to Mother L for having all of us come tonight and allowing us to have a space where we can have such a discussion. And you were listening to the Black Trans Woman Audio Project on CKUT
90.3
FM.
Period. Girl, I don't...
That's my Instagram.
That I can't reach. I don't know if I'll ever find it. I'll never understand. So close. I can't reach. I can't find it.
With the It Pays to Be Vaccinated contest, your COVID-19 vaccination could pay off big time. every Friday in August, you could win $150,000 and two scholarships of $10,000. Plus, if you've had both shots September 3rd, there's a draw for 16 scholarships of $20,000 and a jackpot of $1 million. Register now for the It Pays to be Vaccinated contest at quebec.ca/vaccination contest. The sooner you're vaccinated, the faster you can take part. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Fabi and Mr. Blue present a last lap barbecue on Saturday, August 21st from noon to 9 p.m. at Mackenzie King Park, Côte Saint-Catherine and Westbury. Weather permitting, come out and enjoy. On the menu, barbecue pork and chicken, jerk pork and chicken roti, curry goat, salt fish, and lots of sides, including bakes and homemade juices. Wear your mask, social distancing required. That's Saturday, August 21st, noon to 9 p.m. at Mackenzie King Park, Côte Saint-Catherine and Westbury. Fabi's and Mr. Blue's Last Lap Barbecue. For more information, call 514-771-7011.
Are you a tenant in Montreal? Do you have questions about your rights? Your local housing committee can help. To find the housing committee for your neighborhood or for more resources, go to www.rclalq.qc.ca.
La, 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 la.